Jesus was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. I laughed when I read the lectionary for this week, knowing how many times I would be breaking bread with all of you. I thought, oh, God, thank you. How perfect. Because there's something about sitting down with people that we love, isn't there? There's something that happens in a meal. Whether it's sitting down over here in the church fellowship hall with old friends and new, the hospitality of being welcomed into someone's home, or sitting at a restaurant catching up with old friends. There is something special that happens in sitting down and eating together. You'll be delighted to know that psychologists have found out an answer to what this is. It turns out in prehistory, when we were fighting for survival all the time, that it was only after we had full bellies that we could finally rest and sleep. And so those of us who would survive, who could take a moment and rest, their hormones would kick in after a full meal, giving them a sense of gentle, quiet surrender. But we recognize always that there is something special that happens. It's more than just the people. It's more than just the food we eat. Something happens when we break the bread. And I've got to tell you, ever since Wednesday, I have, in fact, been eating my way through Rio Rancho. Where's Shirley? The fajitas were delicious. The lasagna was top-notch. And the breakfast was full of delicious eggs and bacon and so much joy. My friend Susan and I have been joking that I'm not actually going to be able to fit into any of my pants by the time I get back to New Jersey. And it's not only been the home-cooked meals, it's been the flowers planted around the grounds, the thoughtfulness of a jug of water in the office when I came in. You have welcomed as someone that you and I am so honored. I am so honored. As Cleopas and his unnamed friend were walking toward Emmaus, they started out doing what Christians have been doing for these 2 millennia. They were gossiping the gospel. They were trying to figure it all out. What does it mean? Why did he have to be born in Bethlehem? I don't know. Why did he always eat? Why was the first miracle making water into wine? Why did he have to die in such a brutal way upon that cross? They were doing just what we do. They were trying to put the pieces together. As Bill said, they were trying to read it again and again and again, letting the story preach to us. They were trying to find peace and comfort and challenge. They were retelling and reliving the story of Christ. And of course, the most amazing thing happens for them. Jesus shows up and walks with them. Jesus was present to them, opening the scriptures from the prophets all the way through his birth, teaching his death, and now helping them to understand the resurrection. Oh, to be a part of that walk. Oh, we long for it. If I could be any place in a time machine, I know where I would go. And then, after Jesus teaches and explains, after they start to see and understand, no, they arrive in Emmaus, and they sit down at a table together. And Jesus, he takes the bread, and he breaks it, and he gives it, and their eyes were. Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, this is the third Sunday of Easter. Christ is risen. We're going to do it twice, I'd lie. And Frank has been preaching to you the first 2 Sundays in Easter. First, he talked about Jesus' miraculous appearance to Mary Magdalene, who with her tear-filled glasses, her eyes filled with tears, she could see Jesus. She could see him where others could not. And he was right there with her. And Frank told you about how Jesus came into that room with those disciples who needed restoration. They needed God's forgiveness. They needed it so badly. And Jesus showed up to them and brought them exactly what they needed, breathing peace into their hearts. And in this week, this third Sunday of Easter, we are still trying to understand what it means when we say, Christ is risen. And in our hearts, we are seeking wisdom, trying to understand what the heck does this cross mean today, this morning, in Rio Rancho, in this sanctuary. God, bring us wisdom. And as they asked for what they needed, Christ appeared on the road. Now, anyone who thinks that Jesus doesn't have a sense of humor, this passage is also hysterically funny. Are you the only person who doesn't know? I love Jesus. He's so funny. But Jesus also spoke in their need. Any one of us who's opened this Bible knows that we cannot do it alone. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of one another as we sit down and read it again and again, because it's complicated and it's confusing, and it was written a million years ago by a million different voices. And we need Christ's wisdom. We need Holy Spirit wisdom. We need the wisdom of sisters and brothers to open these words to us again. And then, as they broke bread, their eyes were opened. These stories of Easter are all about how Jesus shows up in completely different ways to completely different people, and how when we can figure out what we need and ask for it, that Jesus is there again and again and again, and that Jesus shows up in our lives. But friends in Christ, I need to tell you that I think is very, very important, and that is that I understand better today than I did on Tuesday morning. I understand this passage better because the time I have spent with you on Wednesday morning at 11:48, I was the first at baggage carousel number one, and Bill Wehner showed up at the airport with two big bottles of water, and I heard this voice, Deborah, Deborah Huggins, although his voice is much deeper. And I looked up, and there's someone I vaguely recognize, you know, when someone's out of place, and I'd only seen him on a Google Meet screen. I look up, and he's wearing this big Chosen shirt. I'm like, how do I know this guy? And there he was, just what I needed. Two big bottles of water to remind me to keep. And he lifted my little bag off the baggage carousel as if it was made out of nothing. And then my bag that I carry is always full of books, and that thing is heavy. Picked it right up, took me to the rental company, where Bill, I think, spent 15 years easily. Because after a long morning of travel, being in a place where I wasn't so, what I needed was a reminder to drink water and some help. Because Christ shows up right where we need Christ to be. And Jesus was made known to me in the eating of lasagna with your entire lovely pastor nominating committee. And that same feeling of warmth and grace that we got through meeting on Google Meets, I got in that room. But just like always, in three, I don't know if there's a fourth dimension, but maybe even four dimensions of love and grace as we got to know each other. And Jesus was made known to me yesterday in the fellowship room, eating those eggs and bacon and cantaloupe and green chili. As we started the journey of becoming pastor, getting to know one another. And even now, as we come together to sing, to celebrate Christ's love for us, to pray, to read the scriptures, Jesus is being made known. Maybe you can feel it too. Your heart feeling a little warm, like Cleopas and that unknown, unnamed disciple. The way that God comes into our lives, it makes us feel more whole, more at peace. But there's also that yearning of wanting to draw closer. It is so easy to feel that Jesus has been made known in this place and at Daniel's funeral and down at the Italian American Club. I hope I have my directions right. For 40 years among you and through. I hope that you can see what I do. And that is that this congregation has been given the profound gift of hospitality with your big, friendly smile and your arms ready to welcome. And I'm not sure who it was, but I was watching. I had to show my husband the video because someone who had raised their arms up and did a human wave, knowing, friends in Christ, you have the gift of hospitality. And just in case you didn't know it, Richard Foster, who is often considered the father of spiritual practices in England, who helped take all of these dusty old spiritual practices and put them into a form that we could all read. Richard Foster describes hospitality as one of the essential spiritual gifts, right along with preaching, singing, proclaiming the word, prayer, meditation. The gift of hospitality, Foster says, is the ability to provide welcome. And a welcome that doesn't just see who you are, but who even anticipates what you might. And Foster tells us that in the act of hospitality, that we have entertained angels unaware. Theologian Tom Reynolds, in his book Vulnerable Community, supposes that as we offer hospitality, that we are changed. He explains that as we open the doors, as we set another place at the table, that we move from us and them, us, that we start to belong to one another, and that our image of ourselves is enlarged and stretched, and that we start to recognize God in the most unexpected places until our image of God is also widened and stretched and made more full and beautiful as each new person is welcomed in. Because Christ is made known in the breaking of bread. And Christ calls us to the holy work of laying the cloth, of setting the table, of pouring, of kneading, and baking the bread. I also need to give you a little warning. Because spiritual gifts have a way of moving people into action. I mean, you will remember Cleopas and his friends sprinted 7 miles all the way back to Jerusalem in the dark. So we better do a little stretching, maybe a couple training runs, because Holy Spirit gifts are like that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting for a moment that you're starting from behind. Oh no, far from it. You've been on this race a long time. You show up for our students and those scholar funds, the way that you welcome children from an all school for graduations. Right here, you can't get in the doors without collecting for Storehouse West. You are already enjoined in this Holy Spirit work. But I have found, sisters and brothers, that when those winds get a hold of us, that it tends to move us into action. Strengthened by our prayers, our singing, and the sharing of our joy, I just wonder what signs and wonders the Holy Spirit has planned to do among us, in us, and through us. In our time of welcome, in our time of hospitality and getting to know each other, in our time of new beginning, of hearing one another's stories, sharing meals, I cannot wait to hear about all of that Christ shown up in your lives. I cannot wait to share a cup of soup, a plate, and to hear about how Christ has shown up in times of sorrow, times of joy, in times of celebration. I am so excited to meet Christ in each of you and to hear the times that you have been able to bring Christ to the heart of this community with those whom you serve in the lives of your neighbor, for those living in the shadow of this. And so, this morning, I am very excited to see how the Holy Spirit will choose to move us together into this new season of hope, of renewal. Christ is made known in the breaking of bread. The table is set, the cloth is laid, the juice is, the bread is kneaded and baked. I cannot wait to enjoy this meal together because Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia.